This episode is coming to you a bit from the future. I noticed when I was putting together all of the episodes for Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix that we were missing the first part of chapter 32. So I thought I would read it for you now, several years after you were reading this before. So chapter 32 is called Out of the Fire. I'm not going. I don't need the hospital wing. I don't want... He was gibbering, trying to pull away from Professor Tofty, who was looking at him with much concern, and who had just helped Harry out into the entrance hall while the students around them stared. I'm fine, sir. I'm fine, Harry stammered, wiping the sweat from his face. Really, I just fell asleep, had a nightmare. Pressure of examinations, said the old wizard sympathetically, patting Harry shakily on the shoulder. It happens, young man, it happens. Now a cooling drink of water, and perhaps you'll be ready to return to the Great Hall. The examination is nearly over, but you may be able to round off your last answer nicely. Yes, Harry said wildly. No, I've done as much as I can, I think. Very well, said the old wizard gently. I shall go and collect your examination paper, and I suggest that you go and have a nice lie down. I'll do that, said Harry, nodding vigorously. Thanks very much. He waited for a second while the old man's heels disappeared over the threshold into the great hall, and then ran up the marble staircase, and then more staircases toward the hospital wing, hurtling across corridors so fast that the portraits he passed muttered reproaches and burst through the double doors like a hurricane, causing Madame Pomfrey, who had been spooning some bright blue liquid into Montague's open mouth, to shriek in alarm. Potter, what do you think you're doing? I need to see Professor McGonagall, gasped Harry, the breath tearing his lungs. Now, it's urgent. She's not here, Potter, said Madame Pomfrey sadly. She was transferred to St. Mungo's this morning. 4 stunning spells straight to the chest, at her age. It's a wonder they didn't kill her. She's gone? Said Harry, stunned. The bell rang just outside, and he heard the usual distant rumbling of students starting to flood out into the corridors above and below him. He remained quite still, looking at Madame Pomfrey. Terror was still rising inside him. There was nobody left to tell. Dumbledore had gone, Hagrid had gone, but he had always expected Professor McGonagall to be there, irascible and inflexible, perhaps, but always dependably, solidly present. I don't wonder you're shocked, Potter, said Madame Pomfrey, with a kind of fierce approval in her face, as if one of them could have stunned Minerva McGonagall face on by daylight. Cowardice, that's what it was, despicable cowardice. If I wasn't worried about what would happen to you students without me, I'd resign in protest. Yes, said Harry blankly. He strode blindly from the hospital wing into the teeming corridor where he stood, buffeted by the crowd, the panic expanding inside him like poison gas, so that his head swam and he could not think what to do. Ron and Hermione, said a voice in his head. And he was running again, pushing students out of the way, oblivious to their angry protests and shouts. He sprinted back down 2 floors and was at the top of the marble staircase when he saw them hurrying toward him. Harry, said Hermione once, looking very frightened. What happened? Are you all right? Are you ill? Where have you been? Demanded Ron. Come with me, Harry said quickly. Come on, I've got to tell you something. He led them along the first floor corridor, peering through doorways, and at last found an empty classroom, into which he dived, closing the door behind Ron and Hermione the moment they were inside and leaning against it, facing them. Voldemort's got serious. What? How do you... Saw it just now, when I fell asleep in the exam. But where? How? Hermione said, whose face was white. I don't know how, said Harry, but I know exactly where. There's a room in the Department of Mysteries full of shelves covered in these little glass balls, and they're at the end of row 97. He's trying to use Sirius to get whatever it is he wants in there. He's torturing him, says he'll end by killing him. Harry found his voice was shaking, as were his knees. He moved over to a desk and sat down on it, trying to master himself. How are we going to get there? He asked them. There was a moment's silence. Then Ron said, Get there? "Get to the Department of Mysteries so we can rescue Sirius," Harry said loudly. "But, Harry," said Ron weakly. "What? What?" said Harry. He could not understand why they were both gaping at him, as though he was asking them something unreasonable. "Harry," said Hermione, in a rather frightened voice, "how did Voldemort get into the Ministry of Magic without anybody realizing he was there?" "How do I know?" bellowed Harry. "The question is how we're going to get in there." "But, Harry, think about this," said Hermione, taking a step toward him. "It's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. The Ministry of Magic must be full of workers. How would Voldemort and Sirius have got in without being seen? Harry, they're probably the two most wanted wizards in the world. You think they can get into a building full of Aurors undetected?" "I don't know. Voldemort used an invisibility cloak or something," Harry shouted. "Anyway, the Department of Mysteries has always been completely empty whenever I've been." "You've never been there, Harry," said Hermione quietly. "You've dreamed about the place, that's all." "They're not normal dreams," Harry shouted to her face, standing up, taking a step closer to her in turn. He wanted to shake her. "How do you explain Ron's dad, then? What was that all about? How come I knew what happened to him?" "He's got a point," said Ron, quietly, looking at Hermione. "But this is just so unlikely," Hermione said desperately. "Harry, how on earth could Voldemort have gotten a hold of Sirius when he's been in Grimmauld Place all the time?" "Sirius might have cracked and just wanted some fresh air," said Ron, sounding worried. "He's been desperate to get out of that house for ages." "But why," Hermione persisted, "why on earth would Voldemort want to use Sirius to get the weapon, whatever that thing is?" "I don't know, there could be loads of reasons," Harry yelled at her. "Maybe Sirius is just someone Voldemort doesn't care about seeing hurt." "You know what, I've just thought of something," said Ron in a hushed voice. "Sirius's brother was the Death Eater, wasn't he? Maybe he told Sirius the secret of how to get the weapon." "Yeah, and that's why Dumbledore has been so keen to keep Sirius locked up all the time," said Harry. "Look, I'm sorry," cried Hermione, "but neither of you are making sense. We've got no proof for any of this. No proof Voldemort and Sirius are even there." "Hermione, Harry's seen them," said Ron, rounding on her. And I think that's where we stop. To be continued by the past me. So I'll send you back into the past now. And also into your dreams if you're going to sleep now. I love you, beautiful kitten. Sleep well, my darling. Good night.